Organize Me Radio, episode 48, The Benefits of Living with Less. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson, and today's guest is the owner of Busy Bee Organizing. Please welcome Tula Adu. Welcome, Tula.
Hey, so glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm so excited to discuss our topic today. But first, can you tell everyone how you got your start in the organizing industry?
Well, I don't know. There's some organizers who say that they were really not an organized person before, but that is not my story. My mom says that I was a very organized child, and I do know that that was true. I remember being excited about going back to school shopping, and I would have color-coded folders, and I would like look down on my little sister who had like her papers just shoved in her backpack. So I've always been an organized person, but when it came to the business, really, I realized that people were doing this for money, and I'm like, really? I do this for, you know, all the time, and also for friends. Like I would voluntarily, oh, do you want me to organize your pantry or things like that? And so when I realized that people were doing it for money, I decided I needed to take that leap.
It's so funny that you said, you know, you were doing it for free. I think we all do. My mom is my biggest client, always will be. Every time I go see her, she lives in Nebraska. Every time I go see her, I'm organizing something.
Me too.
But, you know, it's nice that, you know, we found things that we can get paid for, you know, doing. And if it's something that we're going to do anyway, why not get paid for it, right?
Exactly.
So today we're going to talk about zero cost organization and the benefits of having less.
Yeah.
What is zero cost organization?
So zero cost organization is what it sounds like. It's really kind of not buying anything and organizing using what you have. Now, I know this is not typical in a lot of situations, especially right. You guys are looking on social media. I know that's all you see, right? A bunch of products, a bunch of bins, a bunch of containers. However, I really believe in pausing before you purchase things and really looking at how you use a space. So in my own home, and I post a lot of my own home on my Instagram, is because I personally don't have the money to go every Tuesday and buy a bunch of things to get organized, right? And sometimes it's as simple as putting something in a basket or a bin that you already have to fix a problem in your home. So zero cost organization is really trying to the first step of kind of organizing your spaces using what you have. And that way, if you're purchasing items, you're really being intentional with that, not just like purchasing because you want it to be organized.
So what is your organizing process like then, whether you're working with clients or doing something around your own home?
Yeah. So that dreaded first process is decluttering, right? I actually just had a client, a consult last week, and that's what she asked me. She's like, well, do you help with decluttering? I'm like, yes, that is what I do. Actually, that is the first step because you have to go through the space. You have to identify what you have, right? So many times, no matter whether I'm doing a bathroom or a pantry or a closet, wherever, the client finds things. They're like, oh, I didn't know I had this or this many of that, right? You have to go through what you have in order to identify what it is that you want to keep. So that first process with my clients or even myself is kind of taking everything out of a space, looking at what we have. I believe in sorting into piles, right? You're going to sort into, hey, I want to keep this. These are things I automatically know. I ask my clients a lot, like, what are things here? Just looking at everything on the floor, things you automatically know you don't want, right? Is that something that we're just going to throw away or donate? But it's really going through that process of identifying what you have. And then after that, when you've identified like what you want to keep, I also talk to my clients a lot about how they're going to use a space or how they're currently using it, right? So either what their wishes are for a space or what is the way that they're using it right now. So for example, a few weeks ago, I had a client who we work with like clients that are going through a lot, right? You guys see pretty pictures on Instagram, but life is life. So she has moved. She's living with her son in a two-bedroom apartment coming from a house, right? So she just feels like her home is not her home because she's in this period of transition. And so I said, where do you want to start with? She's like, I guess we could start with this bathroom here. And I said, okay, great. How are you using the bathroom? And she came to tell me, well, that's where she takes a shower at night when her son's finally sleeping. Like, she's a little toddler at home. I go, perfect, right? So that's an example of how are you using this space? Using actually what she had, because she already had some bins in the bathroom. We kind of just took out products that she wasn't using anymore. We organized what she had so she could easily find it. But then she was able to like walk in and not have boxes and stuff all over the place. And she's like, I told her homework was to take a shower that night. And so she'll text me and be like, I just took a shower and I lit a candle. And I just like was so happy because it's her serene space now, right? Yeah, her whole home isn't organized yet, but it's kind of like, how are you using a space? So we have that conversation and then we just go on to organizing, right? But based on, again, what it is that you need, what are the issues, what are the problems, and really trying to put things back in a way that's functional and the client's going to be able to maintain.
I love that. So then what are the benefits of having less? Because you're talking about the decluttering, process. Are we talking minimalism?
So I would in no way think that I'm a minimalist, maybe a little bit. If you come to my home, in no way do you see like nothing, if that makes sense. And I think that's the picture people think of minimalism. But do I really try to be cognizant and aware of what we have, what we don't need to use anymore, how much I have of a certain thing? Yes. And so in a way, it helps you to think of minimalism, sure. But I know for me, I say that it helps me focus on what matters most. And I think that in general, if you think about how many decisions we make a day, right? If you wake up and you're like, okay, what am I gonna eat for breakfast? What am I gonna wear? You go through the entire day making a lot of decisions, but now picture making those decisions and related to those spaces, right? What am I gonna eat? Oh, our pantry's a hot mess, right? I can't see what's in there. What am I gonna wear? I can't even find my clothing, right? You're stressing yourself out in the process because you can't see what you have. So I think one of the biggest benefits of just trying to live a little bit with less is really being able to use the things that you've purchased, to see what you have, and to not feel like as you go throughout your day that these spaces are overwhelming you.
So many people, our clients, our family, friends, are attached to their things, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
How in the world do you convince people to live with less?
So some clients are ready to let it go. Some are not. And you have to, I'm finding this business, you have to find a middle, right? It's going to be easier with some clients. Some clients, they're not going to want to let go of lots. But it's really trying to educate them and kind of change their mind slowly. So some clients who are not ready to let go of, and it's some personal things, right? I have a client, she was ready to go through her space, but her husband wasn't really ready to go through some things that belonged to his parents. So what we did is contain those nicely in some matching bins and labeled them. So when he's ready to go through them, they had passed on, right? So some of the things are like really sentimental and it's challenging to go through. But even that was helpful because before they were like in broken cardboard boxes and like plastic bags, right? They're in a way that even if it were special to him, they weren't being kept in a way that not one, he could easily find them, but also that like they wouldn't be damaged. So it's really talking to the client, meeting them where they are. And I really try to help my clients think about what currently serves them well at this point in their life, right? So not what your life looked like 5 years ago or what you hope to look like in 5 years, but right now, what is serving you well, right? And we have that conversation a lot. And I find that when they think of it, like right now, what am I living my, what, you know, what does my life look like? Are these things I need right now? That it helps them. An example is when you walk into our home, instead of using our first room as a living room, we use it as a playroom. Right now, that works. I have a 7-year-old and 11-year-old. If you come to my house in 5 years, right, I know there are going to be some things that we have let go of because they don't serve us any well anymore, right? My kids will be teenagers then, which is crazy to think about. but right, I need to organize my house right now based on the current life I'm living. And that's why one of my slogans for my company is organize where you live. And I should add right now, right? Because it's so easy to get lost in what you hope for the future or what your life used to look like. But let's just focus on right now and the things that serve you well at this moment. And I think I'm gentle enough with my clients that they realize I'm not just trying to get them to get rid of everything, because that's not the point.
Yeah. You know, I think you mentioning, you know, getting organized for what your situation is right now. Mm-hmm. I think that is such a great nugget of information for people, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, might be organizing for down the road. Oh, I might have this. Oh, I might need this many clothes here. I might need that. Yeah. And it's like, you really don't think about that, you know, in terms of people, like what their process is, how they're letting go, what they're keeping, why are they keeping these things? Like you might have another kid, but your kid is 7. So it's like, let this stuff go, because what if you don't have another kid? Or what if you have another kid year in 5 years and you still have these things? So I love that.
Yeah. And also, like, something as simple as, I'll say this, most things are actually replaceable, right? So like, if you have 3 toasters, oh, well, what if this one breaks, right? Are you going to be able to go buy a toaster if it breaks? Yes.
Yeah.
We have Amazon, we have Target, it's so easy to replace some of those items that people hold on to, don't even realize they're holding on to. It's like, well, am I going to be able to replace that? Is it going to be easy enough for me to replace that? Like, will I have the funds to replace that? And a lot of the things, it's not expensive things. It's just like, oh, but what if I need this thing? And it's like, yeah, but right now you don't. And right. And what space could you open up by letting go of it right now?
So let's talk about why a person would need 3 toasters in the first place. Like, did they find it on clearance? Did they forget they had the toaster?
Like, I have clients, like, I don't know if you've had it, but clients that love to shop like at a TJ Maxx or Marshall's, right? They're like, but I got it for $5. Like, I hear you, but it still has a price tag on it. Like, you're not using this.
Girl, that's my mom. So my mom will see things on sale and buy them, not even necessarily for herself, but someone will need it, right? No. And it's like, mom, please stop buying stuff for people. Just stop buying stuff, period.
That is so funny. Because you're like, mom, this is my job to help people to not do this. And this is, I mean, there's some family members that you're not going to completely be able to change, but yeah.
Just a hot mess, but it is what it is. Like I said, every time I go to Nebraska, I organize her. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
You work with her.
Right. So when it comes to the zero cost organization, mm-hmm. when you're with your clients, are you walking through their house, taking a look at what they have? Is it things that you want to repurpose, or is it things that maybe they already purchased but haven't utilized?
Yeah. So a little bit of both. When I was doing that bathroom I mentioned, I said to her, okay, because she has a lot of stuff, right, from her bigger home. And I said, I want some type of shelf actually to use to put like your products on that you're going to use daily. And she's like, oh, I actually have one right here that used to be in our bathroom. So like, that was an example of, she had something, it was just kind of in storage area of her apartment, but that we were able to use. So I do a lot, talk to them about what I'm looking for. And first, if they have anything that looks like that. And then if not, especially if I feel like the space won't stay organized without that type of organizing tool, then I might suggest, you know, purchasing something, but really kind of going through what they have. Yes, I have clients that I'm like, why do you have so many bins? Right? Do you just pick them up when you see them?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I give you permission now to stop buying bins. But but in those situations, yes, I definitely try to use what they have. If it's going, again, work for the space and they'll be able to maintain it.
So then typically with people that have a lot of organizational products already, mm-hmm. I guess that's a good factor in determining, you know, if they're going to have to spend money on things or not. But what about the aesthetics of the situation?
Yeah. So it really depends on the space. If it's a space that's like what I call like highly visual, or that you'll be looking at a lot, that's kind of a space, like a pantry, for example, I had a client who completely renovated her pantry. She did have bins that were in her old pantry, but like they just didn't go with the shelving and the new look of her pantry. So walking into that, she already knew that she wanted to, you know, invest in some products that matched her new space. So that's kind of like how we'll look at it also, is sometimes what you have doesn't work, but I'm okay with that, right? The whole process is not about not spending money, but again, it's about being intentional with it. And so sometimes, yes, we have to spend some money, but it's nice knowing like we thought through that rather than like just going to the Container Store and picking a bunch of things up off the shelf. Actually, people will be surprised, but I rarely go to the Container Store. Like I go, but I don't go that often because I have to have a list and I'm like, these are the things we need. And I go in and I just purchase those things and I leave. Because you could easily spend more than you need. Yeah.
No, I feel you on that one. I place an order with InDesign and I spent like almost $500 mm-hmm. the other day. But they're having such a good sale right now. So disclaimer. The sale probably won't be going while I'm talking though. So when this airs, the sale probably won't be.
And the thing is though, Naima, you are purchasing it with your organizer mind, right?
Right.
I can go, we'll say this, if you're listening, we can go to Target, look at something and be like, yes, this will fit. And it won't be a wasted purchase, right? Because we have our little organizer mind.
Right.
Everyday people who are going to Target and just picking things off the shelf, they're probably going to sit in your garage because we're thinking about like the shelf and how easy it is to grab it. And is it sturdy enough? Like there's the decision making that an organizer is buying products with is very different from like an everyday person.
I agree with that. And I think that I was going to ask you about people just blindly, you know, buying products. And it's like, that's the thing. It's like, you haven't measured for anything. You haven't. Yes. How does that make you feel when you, okay, so let's say you talk to a client, they've decided that you're going to come. And then they just, before you came, they just decided to purchase their items already. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
So again, always trying to find a middle, because at the end of the day, I don't live here. So what I'm not going to do is come into your space and be like, well, this just won't work, right? I don't live here. I go back to the why, right? Like, well, when you purchased these, having a really formal conversation, what were you hoping to use them for? Sometimes I'll flat out be like, this is one thing you didn't think about, or like, these won't fit in that space, but maybe we can use them here. And sometimes they're able to use like in another space that works just perfectly. Sometimes the client's willing to return them. But again, I go back to when we initially started working together, you mentioned, right, and kind of having a conversation about what, reminding them about what their hopes were for this space. And if the product truly won't work, kind of helping them understand why. And usually at that point, they're like, oh, I didn't think about that. I'm like, of course, because, you know, you're not going to have the same hat on when you're purchasing things that we do. And I mean, you've probably had this, clients are purchasing things based off like TV shows they see, right? Yeah. This looked really pretty, so I'm going to buy those same things. But it's just educating them a lot and kind of explaining why or why not that might not work in their space. So
right.
I try not to take it personally. Initially, my heart is a little bit like, oh gosh. But I'm like, this is your job to educate them and have this conversation. So
when it comes to seeing the things that they have in their space, reusing their items, mm-hmm. How do you relay your vision to clients? You know, there are a lot of people who you might tell them and they just don't see it.
You're right.
What's your process for that?
That is so hard, because you know, you have that reveal moment and they're like, how did you do this? And you're like, well, this is the vision that was in my head right the moment we met. But you're right, sometimes it is hard to get that across. And so I go back again to kind of, one, I'll say like, there's part of you that's just going to have to trust me. And if you don't like it, we can have a conversation then, right? I kind of go back to having that conversation, like, this is your home, not my space, right? Say I do it and you're like, well, this just won't work. We'll have another conversation there. My job is not to try to make this look like I want it to look like. However, I'm always going to keep your goals in mind, right? So if you're telling me you want your daughter to be able to easily get the snacks right out of the pantry, I'm going to help you come up with a solution for that. So usually just kind of going back to the solution and letting them know, part of them will just have to trust me. But also that, right, that we're keeping their solution in mind. And sometimes also what I do is send them like a nice, pretty, like, these are the bins I want to buy, like almost like a visual. Mm-hmm. It depends on the space. Like pantries are really easy to do that for, right? Like, and putting in the pictures of this many lined up here, this many bins here. And then they're like, oh, okay, I understand a little bit better. But I truly find that they're still so shocked, which is great for us. But when they see that final reveal, they're like, oh, mine. And even my own sister was having a baby and she was like, will you please come and organize my closet? I did it. And she kept saying, I never would have done it this way. I'm like, I know. That's my job.
Something about us organizers, our brains work differently or something.
They do. They just, it's hard because you see it and it's like, you're right. How do you get that vision across? So, yeah.
So then when it comes to trying to, I guess, have a more minimalistic lifestyle or living with less or just having less, what are some tips that you would give people to get started on their journey?
That's a really good question. I would recommend starting small. When I started, I'll be transparent, I started with my clothes. I had just had the one who's now 7. I had just had a baby. So I had 2 kids. I felt like I was doing laundry all the time. I actually can still picture myself holding my baby in my bedroom like, this is ridiculous.
I remember those days, so I understand. It's like never ending.
I had just read The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, and I just felt like we had a lot of stuff, but I knew, I was aware enough to know, like, you can't start with your whole house. Like, that's crazy. You'll never finish. So I started with my clothing, and I did this thing called Project 333. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's a really cool project by Courtney. Oh, I'm not going to be able to remember her last name right now. Maybe Courtney Carver. But either way, she has a project where you, for 33 days, you wear the same 33 things, pretty much.
Ah.
And it like encourages you to mix and match and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that you do temporarily, but see what you feel about it. And I remember doing it. So literally when you walk in your closet, she has you take everything out and only put the things that you're allowed to wear. And I remember thinking, wow, I really enjoy getting dressed in the morning, only having these things to look at. And so I started small with like my clothing, for example, and it slowly, really honestly, over years, progressed to other areas of my life. So to answer your question, I would recommend them to start in one space of their home, one part of their life, especially something that's like highly controllable. If you have a family, don't pick a space that they're always in, right? Because they have different goals than you, right? And so pick like your bathroom sink area, pick something that you can maintain and really see how you feel about it as far as like having less in that space.
I love that. Okay, so now I get to ask you my favorite question that I ask every organizer.
Okay.
On what are your favorite organizing products?
Ooh, I think I have 2. One, I love bins. I do. I'm a bin addict. I've now learned to walk past the bin area in Target, and I just did it yesterday. I didn't buy anything. Like, you don't need any more bins. It's funny because my dad was helping me clear out our garage, and he was like, you do not need to purchase another bin. He's like, you have small bins, you have large bins. I do. I'm always like ready to put something in a bin. My second product would be Lazy Susans. I love Lazy Susans. They're like the spinny thing. Mm-hmm. I have them in my bathroom. I have them in my kitchen. Like I kind of have them under the sink. I don't know. They come in different sizes, but I think that they make things really accessible by just being able to spin it. So that's my second favorite product.
I love a good Lazy Susan, especially in like a blind kind of corner where you can just stick your hand in and just like roll it around there.
Like the corner of the pantry, like especially like any corner that's like, yeah. And then you put all the things in and then you spin it and you can see what you have.
Exactly. I love it.
The things that make us happy.
Right. Okay. Love it. So can you tell me what is your greatest achievement as a professional organizer?
That's a good question too. You know, I would have to say, maybe it was a couple years ago. was it, you know, I'm like, I don't even know what year it is. I think it was, yeah, it was about 2 years ago. I participated in a pitch competition. So pretty much it was a lot of different female-owned businesses just talking about the businesses that they have. And, you know, the prize was winning like money and like some consulting towards your business. And even though I didn't win the competition, I remember that really being the first time that I believed in what I was doing. So I think that when you have something that's like a talent that you question it sometimes, right? The imposter syndrome is like, well, anybody could do this, right? I think there was a time in my career because I've always been an organized person. And even though I'm like, well, yeah, maybe I can do this for money, that I didn't necessarily believe like, no, like what you're offering is really valuable. So for the pitch competition, I had to like get out there and explain what it is that I do to people who don't know and why I think it's important. And also I remember being really nervous about it. And so I think that was just a change for me. It ends up being one of my favorite moments because it just took so much courage to do it that it also made me really think about my why and believe in what I was doing. And so there's so many other things that I've done past there that took courage as well that I don't know I would have done. It was kind of like, just try it, why not, type of thing. And so that started me on that journey of, you have something to offer and what's the worst that can happen? Just go ahead and try it.
Right. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it so much. Oh my goodness. Tula, thank you so much for being on. This has been so helpful. Hopefully it helps our listeners. I'm pretty sure it will.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Can you tell everyone how they can find out more information about you?
Yes. So you can find me at all things Busy Bee Organizing, and that's BIZZY. My first daughter, her name is Isabel. And when I named the company, I call her Izzy. And so that's how I changed the spelling. So BIZZY. BEE Organizing, Busy Bee Organizing on Instagram, on Facebook, busybeeorganizing.com as well.
Tula, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Naima. I had a great time.
Thank you everyone for joining us. Be sure to tune in next time for an all new episode.